Finish 3 John today, and then I'm going to give you a quick quiz after that on all 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's not going to be hard. It'll be recognition of where some verses might be, but that and that'll be easy. It'll just be topic. It'll be topic. So you'll be able to do that easily enough on all three Johns, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. All right, so 3rd John. 3rd John, last time we had come to verse 9. We just got into it, and hello to you people out in tape land. Can also take the test too, the quiz at the end, and it will be a closed Bible except for, well, yeah, it'll be all closed Bible. So we'll do that at the end. But anyway, in 3rd John, remember we have three individuals here, four individuals involved. You have the Apostle John, who's writing to a very kind, hospitable, beloved man named Gaius, member of the congregation. He's writing to him about Demetrius, who apparently is the one who's carrying this letter. Demetrius is a good guy. He's a wandering preacher, a wandering prophet. And there's another element, another person involved, and that's Diotrephes, who seems to have the preeminence in the church. And he has preeminence, and he loves to have that preeminence. He loves to be in charge. And he loves to have that preeminence among them. Now, how did he get the preeminence? It doesn't tell us. We may assume that either he's a very staunch, strong local elder, or he's a strong deacon who's been kind of the host of that church there. Either way, he's got the authority to say who comes and who comes to church and who doesn't. And so the threat is very real to Gaius that if he accepts anybody, wandering prophet that's endorsed or not, that he's going to be put out of the church. So Gaius is in a real pickle. John is writing to him, telling him to do the things that are good and right. Don't back down from that which is good. And I'll take care of Diotrephes when I come. So Diotrephes seems to be an elder, and Demetrius seems to be a wandering prophet. That's the scenario that's set up. And so you've got poor little Gaius, kind, gentle soul that he is, stuck right in between both Diotrephes and John over the issue of Demetrius. All right, so let's go to verse 9. John says, I wrote to the church, he's writing this to Gaius, it's being delivered by Demetrius, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, remember what we said preeminence had to do with meaning he loves to be first, he really relishes, he wants to be first, he arrogates to himself that position, but anyway, he loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So now, he's saying, I don't think John knows what he's talking about. John's getting old, you know, he's getting a little forgetful, hard of hearing, can't see as well as he used to, you know, coughs a lot, whatever. John's getting old, little gray hair here, a lot of gray hair here and there, probably 90 to 100 years old. I think John's losing it a little bit because John told us before, we heard, got the message before, that we're not supposed to receive anybody that brings false doctrine, right? That was the qualifier. But he says, you know what? He told us don't receive anybody. Now he's telling us receive people. I think John's lost it. So we can't really rely on him. We've got to just hunker down and keep our own little group. I remember meeting a family out in a couple out in one area of Canada, and I was told by them we don't want to be a part of anything big. So I was explaining to them how they could be a part of something larger than themselves, and they said we don't want to be a part of this. We just want to. We're Church of God, but we're just going to hunker down. We're the three or four of us together. We love each other, they love me, I love them, and we're just going to hunker down in this one little small... I said, what is your purpose? What are you doing? Just hold on. Hunker down and hold on. See, these people were saying, we're just going to hang on, that's all we're going to do, we're not going to let anybody in, we're going to be protected, but we're not going to reach out to anybody either. There's always risk when you reach out. Verse 10, John's reaction to this. Therefore, if I come... I will call to mind his deeds, which he does. I'm going to bring to his attention what he's doing, prating against us, with malicious words. So he was speaking against, railing against John. So it wasn't enough that he just didn't receive his letters. He was speaking malicious words against him. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. He won't receive these people that I send and endorse. They're brethren. And he forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So again, how could this man put somebody out of the church unless he were originally authorized to do so, and now has run amok with his power, has become drunken with the power that he has? How else would he do this? So verse 9 seems very clear that he loved to have this high position. He's speaking maliciously. He's not hospitable. And he forbids others to be hospitable. And he casts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. Don't do what is evil, but what is good. So again, he's trying to encourage and lift up Gaius and saying to him, Gaius, that which you're doing is right. Don't be intimidated by evil. If you know you are right, if you know you are right, stand strong. There's a movie coming out, Walking Tall. I don't know if that's a remake of the Buford Pusser or not. I've seen. Is it a remake? That movie is brings me to tears. You know, and it's just a man who stood up and was so courageous. And they had a Walking Tall Part 2 as well. They had two of them. And a man who comes back and he tries to do what's right. You know, he's law enforcement, tries to stand for, and they hate him. Organized crime hates him. Politicians hate him because he tries to stand tall. Walking Tall. We all have to walk tall. Even if we're short, we still have to walk tall. Because when you walk tall, you are doing what's right. You're standing for what's right. Remember we talked about when that forum that I gave about God looks for somebody who's going to stand in the gap, who's going to step up and make up the hedge when there's a breakdown in the wall, or if they find a place to come through to attack, somebody who's going to stand in the gap. Are you willing to stand in the gap? That's what he's talking about. And he's telling Gaius, stand for what's right. I know you're being intimidated. I know you're being put upon. But stand for what is right. And if you are doing what is right, it will work out for you in the long run. You may not be popular. Okay. But God never says it's popular to do right. If you wanted to be popular, what would you be doing? You would be following the world. That's what's popular. You'd say, what does the world do? What does the world want to do? That's what I'm going to do. That's following the world. You don't want to do that. You want to follow God. You want to follow that which is godly. So he says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. I think 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, doesn't the Apostle Paul talk about become imitators of me? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1, yeah, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul then says, you know, as I follow Christ, follow me. Our ultimate example was the example of Jesus Christ. But if we have individuals who are trying to follow in that way too, then we should walk according to the godliness that they express. All right, going back to verse 11 of 3 John. He says, he who does good is of God. It's interesting. How many times have you said, my goodness? Some people do. Anybody here say that? My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Why, for goodness sake. You want to know who goodness is? God. There's none good but God. And also in the Psalms, God is called my goodness. I think it's Psalms 144. I may be wrong on that one. My goodness. Don't use it. You're using a euphemism. A euphemism is a softened form of the real thing. It's like gosh, gee, golly. You ever hear people say, well, Jiminy Cricket. Why do you say Jiminy Cricket? Because it's J.C. Who is J.C.? Jesus Christ. When I was little, sometimes when my mother would be upset, she'd say, well, cheese and crackers. Yeah, G and what are the beginnings of Jesus Christ? So they catch themselves. Cheese and crackers. If you're using that as a substitute, don't use it. God says don't use it. Don't take his name. But people like to use that. My goodness. Well, for goodness sake. They'll say for goodness sake. You're really saying taking that which is God. Comes from God. God is good. So he goes on to say, he who does good is of God. Why? Well, because God is good. God is goodness. If you want me to give you the exact reference in the Psalms to make my point clear. Psalms 144, verse 2. My goodness and my fortress. My goodness and my... Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. Now, if you say for shield's sake, but people don't use the... Generally, you use terms. They don't say, well, for floor's sake. They don't say for wall's sake. They don't say for tree's sake. But they do say for goodness' sake. What do they really mean? They wanted to say for God's sake.
But what if you don't mean to say for God's sake? It's just...
Yeah, but you're and people say gee and people say gee and golly too.
But see, what if you don't think of it as like replacing the Lord's name?
And when somebody hits his finger with a ball peen hammer and says God blank that, do you think he was deliberately trying to take God's name in vain, or do you think it just became something that was routine and out of habit? We learn a lot. We pick up a lot of things in today's world that we don't even realize we're doing. Josh?
Is gosh bad?
Gosh, yeah. Josh isn't bad, but gosh is. So you can all say for Josh's sake, that would be all right, but you say for gosh's sake, yeah, gosh sakes? Gosh. Gosh.
I say my gosh.
My gosh is my God. Look it up. I did a whole sermonette one time on euphemisms.
But, I mean,
change it. Don't say it.
Oh, pork, or you'll say something like that.
You could say, oh, pork.
You know what you mean, though.
You could say, oh, pork. I know, but people use it. Our world is corrupt. Why would they say by Jerusalem? Why would they say by Job? Well, they use the term by Job. But why do they say by Jerusalem? Many people say by Jerusalem. It's an old expression. Oh, by Jerusalem. There are lots of cities out there. Why don't they say by Nineveh, by Berlin? They don't say those, but they say by Jerusalem. Why do they use those? Because God said not. Do people say for heaven's sake? Well, for heaven's sake. Do you say that? You know what the Bible says? Swear not by heaven. Why? Because that's God's throne, okay? Stay as far away as you can from taking God's name in vain. Taking God's name in vain does not necessarily mean you deliberately say, I'm going to take God's name and use it in vain. It's using it for a useless purpose. And these are adjectives that are directly describing him, especially my goodness, the G with the D with an O, except they add another O to it.
Question.
I'm sorry?
Whenever someone's mad and they need to use a word, they all came from that anyway.
Exactly. They come from when a person is either exclaiming, or when a person is upset, or when a person is that's when it's used. Hal?
Isn't there even a scripture that says we're not supposed to say something about Satan and people?
It says no. It says don't bring any railing accusation against him in Jude. Crying out loud. See the C? Why do you use cry?
Wailing out loud.
You could say wailing out loud. That would be all right. But why do they say cry? Do you ever say, you know what else people say? Well, doggone it. You ever hear people say doggone it? Doggone it. Spell dog backwards. Spell it backwards. Spell it. Why do people say that? They wanted to say it's a euphemism. They're trying to use a substitute for the real thing. Kevin?
Another one I've heard a lot of people use. By George, I think he's got it.
By George. By George. Well, it's George is not a name for God. That's a Broadway expression more than, but it's the by G. So it's getting close. So you try to stay away from those. Stay as far away from sin as possible. Not, let's say, let's walk close. And not that I say you're deliberate. Greg and then Marianne.
If you have to use those expressions, it's not too hard to come up with some words that literally mean what you mean to say without using God's name in vain. If you're confused, I'll say confounded. Or if there's a machine or something that's giving me trouble, I'll say infernal, which is a device from, I looked it up, it's a nice word, device contrived in hell for the purpose of assassination.
Good point. Some people say, oh, sick. Some people say, oh, sick, or rats.
Okay, I have a question about the euphemism.
Okay, question about euphemisms.
Okay, because I remember I've been to the Tetons, I don't know how many years now. And when you're on rock climbing there, a lot of people fall and stuff slips out. So they make a big deal about not using any euphemisms whatsoever.
Right.
What we were allowed to say was, whoopsie daisy, you should not have fell. Do you guys have seen that? Where the guys climbing was like, whoopsie daisy. My question, though, is if you're using whoopsie daisy in the exact same context as you would use any other word, doesn't that become just as bad, even though
it has no relation?
I guess my question is, and if it's the euphemism thing, it's like saying a word that sounds like this and sounds like the thing that sounds like that.
Right.
I mean, isn't it just the anger of expression in expressing the word?
There's nothing wrong with being angry. You can be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with expression of anger. There's nothing wrong with an expression of glee or exclamation. But there is something wrong with taking God's name in vain and cover-ups for taking it in vain. If I identify what I am, I'm so angry today. Yeah, instead of saying, well, God blank this. I'm so angry today. I can identify my anger, but I don't have to do anything with it. I don't have to hurt anybody. I don't have to throw things. I don't have to do... But I can identify it. It's perfectly fine to be angry. Or, wow, am I ever surprised? Wow, okay. That's a great way to be surprised. There's nothing in there that would be wrong. Alex? Well, even if you use a word like whoopsie daisy, you're not swearing. You're using an expression of frustration, but you're not taking God's name in vain. You're not even bordering on it. And what is it to take God's name in vain? It's to use it for a useless purpose. There's no purpose to it. It's useless. And so it's just throwing it out there. And people do that because they don't want... They originally... tried to cover up saying God. So they said, gee. Then they said, gosh. Then they said, golly. And they said, egad.
What?
Egads, some say.
What?
Look, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor as a class. Go look those words up and see what they say. They are substitutes for God. That's what they are. So what has man done? Cleverly tried to hide it. Okay, I don't want to go farther in this because I know we have lots happening. I'll take one more comment from Callie.
What about cotton pickers?
Well, if you like cotton pickers, you can have cotton pickers all you want.
That's a racist.
I would just be careful who you call up to. If a person is not picking cotton, I'd be careful about that. But cotton pickers, we're talking about that is an expression. I don't see it any relationship to God because I don't know that God picks cotton, but God is my goodness, and some of the other expressions that are used. Dan.
Seriously though, this is really gonna bug me later on. Like after today, if we don't get this kind of stuff right.
Yeah.
If I say "oh poop" real loud in a mad way, how is that not swearing?
Oh poop.
Okay, because if you change that word, I can change to a swear word, but that's just something that we agree.
Well, you know what? There's a difference between swearing and vulgarity. There's a difference between using vulgar terms. So A lot of words, a lot of people say, well, you just swore if they say S-H-I-T. I'm not saying it, I'm spelling it, okay? If they say S-H-I-T, is S-H-I-T of itself a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. But it's what's attached to it, and it comes across as vulgar. If you want to say he defecated, that's technically a little more. If you want to say she urinated, that's a technically different term than saying pee and poop, okay? So those words come across more vulgar, okay? But is that breaking the commandment, don't take God's name in vain? No, God's name isn't either of those. But it is vulgar, and of course the extended words beyond that are vulgar too. God says don't let any filthy communication come out of your mouth. So don't let it. My little granddaughter and I had a game when she was little, and I would say something about, oh, could you please get me a poopsicle? I mean a popsicle. And you did it, you know, because she was told by her parents, don't say potty words, don't say any of these words. So then I would say, well, what letter comes after O? And she would say, A, B. And then I say, let's say your alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, L, M, N, O, P. You said it. And, oh, she couldn't do that. And after that, she tried to catch me. And she'd say, what letter comes after O? And I'd say, Q? And she'd say, no, which one comes right after? She was trying to get me in trouble because she tried to get me to say those words, okay. So I'd say, would you please go to the stove and get me a pot? Oh, he said it, you know, because potty is part of it. That's dirty talk. Dirty talk is what that's considered, okay? But when you go beyond that, you're talking about vulgarity. So there are two things that people say you swore. When people use coarse language, filthy talk, that's sometimes people say you were swearing. You're not really swearing. You're using vulgar terms. And the Bible says don't let any filthy communication come out of your mouth, even when you're angry. You say, but when I get angry, I just cut loose with all the time. Why do you cut loose? Why is it okay? Why is it okay to become ugly and vulgar when you get angry? Why is that okay? It's not okay. Okay, I abandon my Christianity anytime I get upset. My Christianity goes out the door. So if anything frazzles me, my Christianity goes. Is that the way you are? You're only a Christian when you feel good? Are you a Christian when you hurt? We have to be a Christian at all times. Josh? All
right. I think what we need to look at is what's sin and what's not. Because when you say that, oh, well, you know, you have to evaluate, oh, I don't know about cotton picker, you know, like, you have to think about every one of them. I think if you don't use God's name in vain and you make the effort not to, then if someone's going to say, well, that one sounds like it, or this one, this, then you're going to have to go into contexts and what do people usually say when you get mad right there? Oh, you meant this. No, I didn't. You're in this whole, like, gray area, and the only way you could ever be in the white there is if you don't say anything at all.
That's no, it's not
if
true.
If you say, oh, my.
There are not that many. Oh, my is fine. Oh, my what?
Oh, my, and they say,
oh, my what?
You wanted to say it.
Oh, my what? Oh, my. It's nothing wrong. My, oh, my. Well, some people say my, oh, my. Nothing wrong with my, oh, my.
Well, I just don't think it's sin if people make the effort.
But if people say the word that means God, but it doesn't say, but you don't say God.
If you say the word that means God.
Like gee, gosh, golly, and all those, look them up. But there aren't a huge number. They're just some. But they're commonly used, and they're thrown out as expressions of frustration, of disgust, of hurt, okay? I'm going to move on, but I bring it to your attention because I know the word he says here, God is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. All right, let's go on. Verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. Demetrius is of the truth. So we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. So again, truth and true come into it. What is the distinguishing factor? Truth and true. You know that what I'm telling you is true, and you know that this is the truth. So he's laying it out pretty clearly for them, saying Demetrius is a good guy. He has an apostolic endorsement. Verse 13. I had many things to write. He concludes this just like he did 2 John. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Again, peace. Peace amidst all the difficulties they were having with the group that they were dealing with, right? The Gnostics and that particular specific group. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. As another nice thing, we talked second semester about how you need to become developing interpersonal skills as far as leadership is concerned, to call people by name. Isn't name something really special to you? Have you ever had a program printed up and they misspelled your name? Put two R's, mine is one R. I'm sure you've had, probably had Michael and Michelle and all the rest. So her name is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-L, like the Bible term, and people aren't used to that. But you're up there and you're supposed to be performing and you get this program and look, they don't even spell your name right. Does that go down sour? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about when people call you somebody else's name? What about when they call you Virginia when your name is Sarah? If you like Virginia, it's okay. But if you don't like Virginia, if Virginia's a problem to you, you might not like being called that name. If she's a great friend, you might not mind it, but if you keep being called that, even brothers. When I went to college, I was called by my brother's name quite a bit by people who knew my brother before me, and we're not anywhere alike. He's taller than I am. He's a little bit darker than I am, and we're not completely alike, but we are both Antians, and so they would say, well, David, why don't you do this? Or they had been used to calling him for 3 years, and I'm new on the scene. I like my brother, but after a while it gets a little boring. Don't I have an identity of my own here? All right, so the point being, a name is something really important. And the more you can learn people's names and call them by name, it is delightful when people know who you are. So that's important too. So he says, greet each other by name. All right, that's all, 3 John. But let's go and talk about a quiz, what I'd like to give you now. We're going to pass those up. This will be easy as pie. You're gonna do just great. But there's a sheet of paper. If you need one, you can write on it. There'll be 12 questions. But they're usually just one. Yeah, 13. Actually, 14. 14, sorry, I added to them. When you're done with this, we've got 20 minutes to the class. Those out in tape land, close your Bibles. Don't leave them open and don't cheat.
Come on, tape land.
Because I can't see you. Okay. Everybody set? And when I ask the question, nobody can say G-E-E or G-O-S-H or oh my, or whatever else. Okay. All right, let's go on. Question number one. These are all the first several of these, actually the first 10 of these. All you have to put down is a number from 1 to 5. Okay. So you could have a 20% chance of being correct, right? 1 out of 5. Anyway, okay. Number one, God is love. What chapter do we find that in? What chapter in 1 John? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Okay, which chapter? It's actually written twice in that same chapter. You try to picture in your Bible where it would be. Okay. Number two, where does it say that we should confess our sins to God and He will forgive them? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. Which chapter? Think. Which chapter? Number three, which chapter says our fellowship is with the Father and the Son? Which chapter does he talk about our fellowship is with God and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son? Number four, what chapter tells you what sin is? What chapter tells you, actually you could have two of them. If you have a better chance, you have 2 out of 5 chances. Because there are 2 chapters that say what sin is. Number five, what chapter tells you what love is? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Which chapter? Number 6. Which chapter tells us that we hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments? He that says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Which chapter is that? I'm sorry? All of these are 1 John. All of these are 1 John. Yeah. Number seven. Where does it say, beloved? Let me read it to you. Let me read it to you exactly. I'll read it to you from Old King James. I could read it from New King James. It would be just as close. And you know what? I'm turning to 1 John. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he appears, we shall be like him. Most of these are scriptures I said. These are yellow, okay? These are yellow ones. Where does it say that? Which chapter? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Number 8. Where does it say to love in word and in deed? Don't just love in word, but love in word and deed. Which chapter? Number 9. Where does it say, try the spirits? Which chapter does he say, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not? It's the beginning of the chapter. It's verse 1. But I won't tell you which chapter. And number 10, ask, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to his will. Where's that found? Which chapter? And I just want to see. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to help you see whether you have, as a person, as you go through those books, as you try to pick out where that is, as you get a sense of where that is, as you go through and spend lots of time in each of those chapters, as you think about those verses being there, especially highlighted verses. I'm not trying to pull ones out from under, that are not as well known. Okay, and this comes from 2 John. This one I want you to tell me what verse. 2 John, this number 11 is 2 John. Where does it say, if any comes and does not bring this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him goodbye? It's the only verse in 2 John that I would want to know. That's the only verse in 2 John that I would highlight. 2 John. There are only 14 verses, so 13 verses, so guess. 13 verses. Okay, let's go to the next one. Number 12. 3 John. This is, comes out of 3 John. What verse is this? Where John writes and says to Gaius, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. What verse is that? I'll give you a clue. It's toward the beginning. But it isn't the beginning. All right. Number 13. What aspect of Gnosticism, was the Apostle John battling? Especially when he said, we have heard, we have seen, we have touched, we have held. What aspect of Gnosticism was John? Remember, there's a branch of Gnosticism. What branch was that? I'm not going to tell you what letter it begins with, but it's sort of toward the front of the alphabet. Number 14, and this one's going to take you a few minutes. List and explain the three types of servants to the early church. I talked about those when we talked about 2nd and 3rd John. Who were the three? And even put them on the board, if you remember. List and explain. Just briefly say what they were about. The three servants, the three types of preachers to the early church that they had. I can't say it clearly because I will give away the answers. Who were the three types of preachers, three categories of preachers? Just list them and just put a brief note beside it, why that person, or what was that person's task. If it was the secretary, she types. If it was the treasurer, he keeps track of the money. You know, just a brief explanation of what they did. Okay, let me give you two bonus questions to help make up for all your mistakes. Number one, what is the theme of 1 John? Overall theme of the book of 1 John. Four letters. And if you put true, you're wrong. So. What is the theme, 1 John? Yeah. Don't tell me. Don't talk. Don't talk during class. Don't talk during class. All right, and number two bonus. What are the dates of all of them? What dates would we say all three of them were written in? I mean, it's just a category. It's a decade, okay? What decade was this written in? And you don't get that when you didn't hear the right beginning, okay? You're not even looking at what your handout is. All the handouts had the dates, and I'm giving you the decade. Okay, let's go back and grade them. Number one, God is love. What chapter is that found in? Anybody? 4. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. 4. God is love. Number two, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. What chapter is that found in? Anybody? Did anybody guess one? Chapter 1. Question number three, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Which chapter is that? Chapter 1. Woo! See, you want to picture the book. You try to picture the book as you read it, try to picture the information, and as you picture it, you can follow that flow. Okay, and number four, what chapter is sin in? 3 or 5. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4 and 1 John 5. I think it's verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. If you had either 3 or 5, you're correct. Number five. What is love? What is love? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and they are not grievous. Which chapter? 1, I have 1, I have 2. Anybody, any other choices?
3.
Is it 3? 5 is the answer. 1 John 5:3. Okay, number 6. We know God if we keep his commandments. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that says he knows him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
1 John 2:4.
2. 2. Number seven, just so you don't say anything when you throw it, you're okay. All right, number seven. Where does it tell us, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? Which chapter is the one? Three. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Number 7, that's the answer, is number 3. All right, number 8. Where does it tell us to love both in word and in deed? How many think it's number 1? How many think it's number 2? How many think it's number 3? You are right. Number 3. 3:18. 1 John 3:18. Number 9, try the spirits. Where does it tell us to try the spirits? It's right at the beginning of the chapter. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4? 4. 1 John 4. Okay, number 10. Number 10. Where does it tell us to ask according to His will? If you ask anything according to His will, He will hear you. Is it 5? 5. Okay, let's do 2 John, number 11. 2 John, if anybody comes to me and brings not this true doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not, neither bid him goodbye. It's the highlighted scripture in 2 John. 10. Did you get it back there? Boy, am I surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I knew you all would get that. Okay, number 12. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. 3 John 2.
Oh my!
3 John 2. Okay. List and explain the three types of servants. Apostles. I didn't do 13. Oh, I'm sorry, 13. What aspect of Gnosticism was John battling?
Docetism.
I even told you what letter it began with. D. I said at the beginning of the alphabet. Docetism. Okay, and number 14, list and explain the three types of church leaders. Number 1, apostles. And what did they do? They had seen Christ. They were very credible. 2, elders. What did they do? They were kind of the backbone of the church, the mainstay. Number 3, wandering prophets or evangelists. What is it? Okay. We'll do. And also, the wandering preachers or wandering pastors were ones who went through, and they could be good and they could be bad. So those are the three. All right, let's go to the bonus. Two bonus questions. Number 1, what's the theme of 1 John?
Love.
Four letters, L-O-V-E, love, not truth. Number 2, bonus, what decade?
90s.
90s. Okay, you can keep your own papers to just show you what you maybe should. As you go, students, let me give you a tip. When you're reading, you can learn a lot if you're alert in class. You can learn a lot if you're alert in class. If you are, as you go through, thinking about where these are in the scriptures, that helps a lot. I didn't ask you for verses, I just asked you for chapters. So try to be thinking about it as you go through. Okay. Have a great rest of the morning, and I'll see you this afternoon.